He's the author of Memories of a Goldfish. He is the band leader for the Arizona Sun. He kind of dabbles in the news as WDIV NBC4's anchor and the host of Flashpoint. Devin Scillian, welcome.
Can I trust that country music, little music bed there was for me? That's very sweet.
You see, you know, Devin, you're giving me way too much credit. You know that Paul and Guy and those guys make this look easy. You make it look easy. I'm sweating up a bucket here. Megan is like throwing ice on me.
Not a chance. You're doing great.
All right. So I have to say, Devin, you made the Olympics for me worth watching again.
Oh, my.
And I mean that sincerely. I wanted to be in Paris. I mean, there's so much I could say, but I'm going to start with the vignettes that you did about the venues and the backgrounds on some of the more obscure sports. That was an incredible public service. I loved that.
You know, it's funny, for having covered this is my 10th Olympics, when Bob Ellis, our general manager, said, I want you to put together a video explaining every single Olympic sport. First, I checked his temperature, but then I learned an awful lot it was a great exercise. And then there were some sports that I just could not wait to get in and really dig into, because I suddenly knew more about them. Rugby sevens. I just found rugby sevens one of the most thrilling things. And, you know, that only largely because I had kind of prepared for it by doing those. So I'm glad they registered with you too, but they were a great exercise for me as well.
And the, you know, the commentary, you know, from, you know, you and your colleagues, you know, people like Mike Tirico, it always seemed to come down to these Olympics seem really special. And maybe it's the first one that it's post-COVID. Maybe it's because, you know, Paris used the entire city in a very unique way. Was it really as different and unique? I know how much you love the Olympics, so you're a keen observer of the Olympics. Was this one really as unique as it seemed?
I think it was a lot of things. I think for one of the biggest things that you can't dismiss is that it was the first Olympics that we really had past COVID, because the last two were just kind of nobody was energized by them, especially Tokyo. Remember, no crowds, just didn't have any of that feel. And then nobody could really get excited about a winter Olympics in that great winter wonderland of Beijing, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to people either. And so we finally got, you know, we got out of there, and it became the Olympics that you and I and so many other people remember. So it was a full Olympic experience, but yes, there's no doubt the fact that it was Paris, which is, you know, hosted in one of two cities now to host the Olympics three times, but that they integrated them into all of those landmarks that we've seen on postcards and in books a million times. It was just something extraordinary that it all came together in this perfect Olympic cocktail, I think.
So you mentioned rugby seven, which is a sport that none of us, until you introduced us to, had any idea what it was. And I'll be honest with you, even after your tutorial, I still don't understand how it works. But, you know, give us, you know, Devin's personal highlights of doing all that walking around the city and all the venues that you went to, all of the sports that you got to see. Which ones, you know, kind of stick out and the ones that you're going to really remember 20 years from now?
Well, I had the blessing of a great credential, which got me into any venue basically that I wanted to go to. And we had a lot of Michigan athletes and a lot of different things. We spent a lot of time at track and field because of people like Grant Fisher, Hobbs Kessler. I mean, we had a great time at that. But before the games even started, some of the competitions get underway. And rugby sevens was the first thing that I attended the day before the opening ceremonies. And I'm standing there. That was at Stade de France, too. The place is packed. And I was just mesmerized by it's such a fast-moving game. And the way that the American women won the bronze medal on what was the equivalent of 4th and 95 yards to go, and running it straight up the middle of the field for, in rugby, it's not called a score, it's called a try. which seems to me what you do to try to score, but that's okay. That just set the tone for this wonderful rush of moments. And Sandy, the funny thing is that, yes, I of course I admired Simone Biles and Leo Marchand and what the American basketball team did, Katie Ledecky, all those gold medalists who are so at the top of their craft. But for me, the highlights were the bronze medals. The bronze medal in that women's rugby sevens, the bronze medal that the men's gymnastics team with their two guys from U of M came kind of out of nowhere to win. There were so many bronze medal moments that just reminded me that, you know, in fact, the worst thing in the world at the Olympics is fourth place.
Fourth place, exactly right.
Man, is that rough. Just terrible, right? So close and yet so far. And we had a couple people that were Grace Stark. Finished sixth in the women's 100-meter hurdles final, but she was 0.02 of a point of a second out of first place.
That's
how crazy that, you know. I mean, that's the margin of, and that's what I love about the Olympics. But if I had to pick one moment that I thought was just the best, Sandy, this is what stayed with me so much from the Olympics. And people weren't necessarily watching it in the U.S. because it was Brazil against Canada in the gold medal match for beach volleyball. Saturday night, the final Saturday night of the games, and it is one game apiece. They're in the deciding game,
and they're under the Eiffel Tower. I mean, what better venue?
Exactly. And they start getting really chippy, and the four players are yelling at each other, pointing at each other. You just don't see this very much in beach volleyball. They're only separated by the net, and they're each standing on their side of the net screaming, and the referee is in the middle trying to get them to break it up. Finally, they start to go back to their sides, and somebody says something, and they rush back to the net and start screaming again. The DJ starts playing Imagine by John Lennon. The players all start laughing. The crowd starts singing. Everybody starts clapping. They go on with the match. And it was, I was like, this is what the Olympics is all about. Man, it was the best. I wish Canada would have won instead of Brazil, but that's okay. It was that's the moment that's going to stay with me forever, Sandy.
Devin, that is absolutely perfect. Thank you. Seriously. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your great work for Channel 4, for NBC. It was just a joy to watch you, and you really made the Olympics truly come home. So thank you for calling in. Appreciate everything you do for us.
It was my pleasure. For both the Olympics and calling in to talk to you, it's always a pleasure, Sandy. I'll see you soon, I hope.
All right. Thanks, Devin. All right, folks, we'll be back in just a little bit. Stay with us.